Good morning.
We're going to continue our series today that we started several weeks ago on the books of Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And this particular section of Judges, chapters 6 through 8, to many people is perhaps the only thing they know about the book of Judges. So it's a very significant section, and it deals with the judge named Gideon. And the record of Gideon is remarkable in many ways. In some ways, it's very predictable because it's one of the situations where the children of Israel had walked away from God. So a neighboring country had come in and enslaved the Israelites until they finally realized they were in a mess and prayed and asked God for help, and God sent a judge in to deliver them. That is pretty typical that you see throughout the entire book of Judges, that sort of roller coaster ride I told you about. That at the top of the roller coaster, they're praying and trusting God. Then the judge dies and they turn away from God and they go back to idolatry and they get down to the bottom of the roller coaster. And God has to help them climb back up to the top of the roller coaster. So that is pretty typical. What's unique is the way God called Gideon and the way Gideon responded. Gideon was a fellow that had no leadership background that it talks about, had no background trusting God or walking with God like you have with somebody like Samuel that we'll get to later on. Yet God called him, and Gideon tried hard to do what God told him, but he had a hard time trusting God. So he kept asking God for signs and encouragement, and God kept giving it to him. And every time God did a little more to encourage Gideon, Gideon would act a little bit more on God's word, but then ask for more signs and more support. And then towards the end, without even being asked, God is doing things to support Gideon. And in the end, God, of course, brings great victory to the Israelites through the leadership of Gideon. But if you read the record of Gideon and then think about our own lives, what's obvious is that if you have a heart to love God and serve God and help his people, God will work with you and he'll meet you right where you are. It's so common for people to get discouraged when they read about Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul or Moses or any of the other wonderful leaders in the Bible and say, gee, I couldn't possibly be like them. And it's true. It'd be hard to rise up and be a King David or a Solomon. But when you read Gideon, he's a little more relatable because he's going through the type of challenges and doubts and misunderstandings we all go through every day. And if God could work with a Gideon and bring deliverance, I think he can work with you and me. And obviously we're different people in different situations, different countries, different administrations than Gideon was in. Yet there is still that need to know God and trust God and walk with God. And that just takes time and patience to get there. And God will be there to help us. So it's a wonderful record, and I'm so delighted to be able to share it with you today. This is a record we've all read many times, but let's just look at it from the particular point of view of here's a guy that's trying to believe God, but he's having a hard time. And he asks God to help him, and he does. It reminds me of the book of James. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men freely and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And it reminds me of verses like in, I think, Philippians, where it said, it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So we can ask God for wisdom. We know he's working within us. He's not possessing us, but he's working within us to encourage us to walk with him and trust him. And then there are wonderful verses in Proverbs where you trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. He's going to direct your paths. And then verses like, I think it's Psalm 37, maybe Psalm 34, where it says, you know, if you turn all your concerns over to God, he'll hear you. And there's so many other wonderful ones like that. And they all sort of are exemplified or become an example to us in the record of Gideon. So I know every record in the Bible is wonderful and everyone is unique, but here's one that at least I can really relate to, and I think most people can, because I think most people go through the kind of challenges Gideon does. And the next time that happens to you, where you want to believe God but you're having a hard time, instead of getting all down on yourself or getting mad at God for not doing more for you, why not do what Gideon did and just ask for help? Now, obviously, God may deal with you in a different way than he dealt with Gideon, but he'll be just as faithful to supply your needs, direct your paths, give you the desires of your heart, and give you great victory in all that you do. So with that brief introduction, which wasn't so brief, let's go to Judges chapter 6. So, Judges 6 and verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Because remember, although God loved his people, he couldn't overcome their freedom of will. And if they chose to turn away from him and worship other gods and not ask him for help, he just had to throw up his hands and say, okay, guys, that's what you want, that's what you get. Sort of like he did with the group of Israelites that left Egypt. He finally said, okay, you guys want to die in the wilderness? Die in the wilderness. I can't stop you. Well, that's what happened. So the Midianites, one of the neighboring countries, basically enslaved them for 7 years. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel, and because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. They had to hide. Verse 3, and so it was when Israel had sown, when they planted their crops, that the Midians came up and the Amalekites. So two groups, two countries. And the children of the east. So three groups are coming up against one, the children of Israel. Even they came up against them. Verse 4, and they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth. So they burned the crops or stole it. So there were no crops for them. Till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass. For they came up, verse 5, with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out unto, they cried unto the Lord. When you're in a situation where it's three against one, three countries invading one, and your country has no source of food or very little source of food because your invaders took it all, it's a mess. From a military standpoint, you're way outnumbered. You don't have the supply chain. You know the old story, an army runs on its stomach. If you can't feed them, they can't fight. Well, they had very little food. It was very tough. And from a military standpoint, from a logistics standpoint, from a logically thinking through the planning process aspect, there's no way they could win. But they didn't turn to their military planners. They turned to God, finally. So, verse 7, it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. And I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you and drave them out from before you and gave you their land. And I said unto you, verse 10, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice. Now it's interesting. There is a prophet who God could call to go speak to them. This is a fellow that had the Spirit of God upon him and obviously had some experience listening to God and speaking to God's people. Why didn't God just have that guy become the judge instead of raising up some kid named Gideon who had no experience at all with the things of God? I don't know. That's God's call. But we do know that different people had different abilities. Perhaps this prophet was very good at going out and speaking the word of the Lord, but he just didn't have the courage or the background or the something to go out and lead an army. I have no idea. But there's so many things God does that we don't always understand. So rather than worry about them, we just pray. And God takes care of us. At any rate, So the prophet went out and said, you guys messed up by turning away from God. Verse 11, there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was an Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Didn't want the Midianites to see him threshing the wheat, because they'd just steal it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, unto Gideon, and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon's looking around saying, who's he talking to? I'm just a kid who's threshing wheat and hiding behind this winepress so I don't get caught. How could I possibly be a mighty man of valor? And the truth is, he wasn't yet a mighty man of valor. But there's that verse where it says, God calls things which be not as though they were. He was not yet a mighty man of valor, but God called him one as though he already were one. Like in places where it says we're seated in the heavenlies. Well, from a spiritual position of authority we are, because we're God's children and we're sitting at his right hand. But from a physical aspect, you guys are in Virginia and I'm in Puerto Rico. We're in the United States. But the day will come when there's a gathering together and we'll be raised up and we'll literally be seated on the right hand of God. But God calls things which be not as though they were. So the angel called Gideon a mighty man of valor. And Gideon, verse 13, said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us against Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. So he was a little upset and a little confused in his theology, but he pretty much had it right. The Lord had forsaken them, but it was because they had forsaken him. They had freedom of will, and they chose not to trust the true God, so God couldn't really help them. Like, if you go into a restaurant, or maybe these days go up through the drive-thru and ask for a hamburger, fries, and a Coke, they'll give it to you. You'll pay them $5 or $10, but they'll give it to you. But if you never go up to the drive-thru or never have your $10, they're not going to give you a hamburger, fries, and Coke, because you didn't ask for it. You went across the street and asked for tacos. So what'd you get? Tacos. Well, that's what the children of Israel did. They didn't go to the true God and ask for what they needed. They went and followed the examples of the inhabitants of the land, which they hadn't chased out, the ones that God said would be a thorn in the side. And they asked false gods to help them. And the false gods didn't do a very good job of helping them. And so they were taken over and put in bondage. At any rate, let's read verse 13 again. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hand of the Midianites. Verse 14, and the Lord, this is the angel, looked unto him and said, didn't even answer his questions, didn't acknowledge them. Just got right to the point. The Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? So the first thing the angel said, Gideon gave him a big, long spiel about how that can't be right. Then the angel kept going, go in this thy might. You'll save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. But Gideon's still arguing because he doesn't get it. But he doesn't give up. He doesn't say you're crazy. He doesn't say, I don't believe in God, or God can't talk to me, or, you know, I must have had too much something for dinner that made me nuts. Nope. He said, verse 14, the Lord looked up unto him and said, go in this thy might. No, we did. Oh, yes. No, he said the same thing he said before. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Verse 15, and he, Gideon, said unto him, O Lord, wherewith shall I save thee? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. See, he's looking at it from the census point of view. He's thinking, if you're going to be a leader and you can do something great, you have to be a prominent person and a prominent family and a prominent tribe. It's the way people think today. If you're not a big shot who's on TV, or a big shot who works for the government, or a big shot who works for a corporation, or something like that, you don't matter. You're just never going to accomplish anything. It's only the big shots that do it. Like Laverne and Shirley, they worked for Schott's Beer. When the boss showed up, it was the big shots. It's the same thing. There are people that think if you're not one of the big shots, nothing matters. Well, it's not true. What matters is, do you have the Spirit of God? Is God telling you what to do? And are you doing it? Well, let's look at this again. Verse 15, he, Gideon, said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee. That's the key. When the Lord is with you, which generally means you have the Spirit of God upon you and you're operating manifestations of the Holy Spirit, doing what God tells you. The Lord, the angel, said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Now look at verse 17. Gideon's starting to come around, but he's still having a hard time believing all this. But he doesn't give up on him. You know, it's like you're in a place and the guy's trying to sell you a car, and you say, you know, he makes all these claims, and you say, can I actually get in and give it a ride, or could I get in there and play with those gadgets on the dashboard and see if they really work? That's sort of what Gideon's doing. He's not writing God off as useless or the angel as a liar, but he still doesn't get it. So, verse 17, he, Gideon, said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign that thou talkest with me. Verse 18, depart not hence, I pray thee, until I come unto thee, and bring forth my present, and set it before thee. And he said, the angel said, I will tarry until I come again. And Gideon went in and made ready a kid, a young goat, and unleavened cakes of an ephah of flour, and he put flesh in a basket, and he put broth in the pot, and brought out unto him under the oak, and presented it. So he took some time to, kill the goat and dress the meat and cook the meat and bake some bread, and then he brought it out to the angel. And the angel of God, verse 20, said unto him, take the flesh and the unleavened cakes and lay them upon this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. Then the angel of the Lord put forth the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the flesh and the unleavened cakes, and there rose up fire out of the rock and consumed the flesh and the unleavened cakes. Then the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. See, that was indicative of God accepting the sacrifice. If you read the records, which we'll get to one day, of Solomon dedicating the temple when it was completed, many, many sacrifices, so many they couldn't fit them on the altar. They had to go in the courtyard of the temple to make all these sacrifices. And when they had them ready, fire came down from heaven and consumed them. Because that was a sign in many parts of the Old Testament records that God accepted the sacrifice. He'd send the fire down to burn it. And in a similar way here, the angel asked Gideon to put the meal he'd made on a rock, and fire rose up out of the rock and consumed it. Again, a sign that God was accepting the sacrifice, the offering. Verse 22, and when Gideon perceived that he was an angel of the Lord, Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for because I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face. He was worried. He thought maybe he'd die because he'd seen an angel of the Lord. And the Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt die. That reminds me, I don't know if you've noticed it, but in many cases in the scriptures, when an angel shows up to talk to somebody, first words out of his mouth are, fear not, because you're just sitting there doing whatever you're doing, whether you're threshing wheat or making tea or sitting meditating, and all of a sudden this bright shining guy shows up and starts talking to you. It can be a little scary. Well, first words out of the mouth are often, fear not, and that's what we see here. The Lord said unto him, peace be unto thee, fear not, thou shalt not die. Then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord is peace, or the Lord is our peace. He brings peace unto us. Unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal, one of the false Canaanite gods. Throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it. Grove was other pagan statues. Verse 26, And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove, which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants, and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. See, so again, Gideon's growing. At first he didn't believe any of this could be true. Then he finally got to the place where he was going to do what the Lord said, but he was scared, so he was doing it at night. So he's sort of incrementally, or little by little, gaining confidence to do what God has asked him to do. Verse 28, And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cast down that was by it. And the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said to one another, Who hath done this thing? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon the son of Joash hath done this thing. Then the men of the city said unto Joash, Can you imagine them all piled on his front lawn? Maybe he went out in his bathrobe and slippers to get the paper, and there's all these guys out there saying, Bring your son out so we can kill him. So verse 30, The men of the city said unto Joash, Bring out thy son that he may die, because he hath cast down the altar of Baal, and because he hath cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, Will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it is yet morning. If he be a god, let him plead for himself, because one hath cast down his altar. You dummies, if Baal is so weak that some kid with his buddies in a pickup truck can come in and tear down his altar, why should you plead, why should you plead for Baal? Verse 32, Therefore on that day they called him Jerubbaal, which means let Baal plead, saying let Baal plead against him because he hath thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east were gathered together, or also gathered together after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. So let's back up a little bit. Verse 35. I'm actually jumping ahead. Verse 33, a whole bunch of people were gathered against them, the Midianites, the Amalekites, the children of the east, and they were in the valley of Jezreel. That's sort of up in what we would call central Israel today. It's not far from Megiddo, where the Battle of Armageddon, which is the mountain of Megiddo, is supposed to happen. A lot of battles were there. We read about when Deborah was judge and Sisera was the army of the enemy and went in the tent, and the woman there in the tent pounded a tent stake through his head. That was in the hills just above this valley of Jezreel. So all these guys are camped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of God came upon Gideon, verse 34. Very significant. With the Spirit of God, now he has the spiritual power to operate manifestations, two of which are word of knowledge and word of wisdom, to be able to listen to God and hear what God has to say and know what to do. So the Spirit of God came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. So some of the Israelites were there. And he sent messengers, verse 35, throughout all Manasseh, who also was gathered after him. And he sent messengers unto Asher and unto Zebulun and unto Naphtali. So basically about a third of the tribes were invited to join in, and they came up to meet them. And Gideon said unto God, verse 36, If thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece, sort of like a throw rug, actually probably the skin of a sheep, but we think of it as like a throw rug, bath mat. I will put a fleece of wool on the floor Oh, it wasn't sheep. Sorry, it was wool. No, wool comes from sheep, of course. I will put a fleece of wool on the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. So he wanted a fleece. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said, verse 39, unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece, and upon all the ground let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So Gideon kept asking questions, and then he asked for signs, and God gave him two, the wet fleece and the dry fleece. Okay, let's go to chapter 7, if we might. Then Jerubbaal, verse 1, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched. And no, they weren't playing baseball. They were putting up tents. And they pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host, the army of the Midianites, were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, that a people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. The Lord said, there's just too many people there. You've got too big a crowd. If you guys go in, you'll say, look how tough we are, and then you'll go back and worship false gods. We don't need God. We're great soldiers. Now, therefore, verse 3, go to, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. What a great thing. They wanted to be a smaller army that actually believed God rather than a big army that was scared and worried and would run at the slightest sign of defeat. So whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And they returned to the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet, there's still too many. Bring them down unto the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee. And of whomsoever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. So he brought down the people unto the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shalt thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men. But all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So picture 300 men that maybe stoop down, but just pull the water up to their mouth with their hand, as opposed to those that just basically kneeled down and stuck their face in the water. He kept the 300. Now, there have been various ways people have looked at this, none of which are in the scriptures, but I'll just tell you what they are. Some have said that those that bowed down on their knees were so used to bowing down to Baal that they were idol worshippers and God didn't want them. Another conjecture has been that the 300 that brought their hand up to their mouth, think of it, if you do that, you can keep an eye on the enemy and see what's going on. You have what they call in military terms situational awareness, because you don't have your head stuck in the water. You're drinking the water, but you're still looking around. So for whatever reason, whether it was one of those reasons or some other reason of God's, he chose 300 men. They started with 32,000. 22,000 went home scared. And 9,700 went home because they bowed down and stuck their faces in the water. So interesting. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by verse 7, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, let all the other people go to every man unto his place. At this time, if I were Gideon, I'd be sort of wondering. I'd be saying, I was happy when we had 32,000 soldiers, and I was okay with 10,000. But what in the heck am I going to do with 300 men against this vast multitude of enemy soldiers? Verse 8, so the people took victuals, food in their hand, and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. So they were down in the valley of Jezreel, and Gideon's men were on a hill up above the valley. So remember the first two signs, the wet fleece and the dry fleece, as well as all the questions to the angel Gideon had asked for. Now God is volunteering, in essence, a sign for Gideon without being asked, because God can see his heart and he knows that Gideon is still a little nervous, a little hesitant to go fight, and he knows Gideon has to be with it 100% for this to work. So it came to pass that night, verse 9, that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down unto the host, unto the army, for I have delivered into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down with Phurah thy servant to the host. And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shalt thine hands be strengthened to go down unto the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as the sand by the sea for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow, and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian, and came unto a tent, and smote it that it fell, and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else, save the sword of Gideon the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So Gideon and his buddy Joash went down there unto the edge of the army of the Midianites, and they heard these two guys talking. One guy had a dream. A loaf of bread came down and knocked my tent over. And his buddy said, Oh, that's Gideon. God's delivered us into his hand. He's going to destroy us tomorrow in the battle. So that's what they thought. And as you know, it's not very hard to defeat an army or anybody that's determined to lose, because they tend to give up and run at the slightest sign of a problem. Verse 15, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation of it, he worshipped, he praised God. He probably said, Hallelujah! And returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps with the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look on me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow a trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So you'll see the scene set here in a minute, but what happens is the Midianites are in this big group in the valley, and the children of Israel spread out sort of like a horseshoe around them, something like that. And each man, all he has is a trumpet and a torch. And the way warfare was at that time, especially if you attacked at night, it was obviously common for each guy with a trumpet and a torch to have a big line of soldiers behind them. So they looked out, and all of a sudden, all at once, they see 100 of these guys with torches and trumpets, assuming each one is a big company of soldiers, and they panic and they run. Whereas in reality, there are no soldiers at all. There's just 300 guys with torches and trumpets. Very interesting stuff. So verse 16 again. He divided the men, 300 men, into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. And he said unto them, Look unto me and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. And they had but newly set the watch. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in their hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, The sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah and Zererath, and to the border of Abel-Meholah unto Tabbath. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali, and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh, and pursued after the Midianites. And Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites, and take before them the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Beth Barah and Jordan. And they took two princes of Midianites, Oreb and Zeb, and they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian, and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. So they carried out the word of the Lord. They went with the 300 men that God had chosen. They took their torches and trumpets and blew them and made a lot of noise. And it scared the Midianites away, and they ran. And the Israelites, the rest of them, besides the 300, came out and chased them and basically destroyed them. So great victory was wrought. Even though we had Gideon, a guy who was scared and confused, he kept asking God for help. God continued to help give it to him, and the result was they brought great deliverance. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the example of women like Deborah and men like Gideon who listened to you, and thank you for working with them to raise them up to serve you and bring deliverance to your people. And how much greater that today we all have the Spirit of God within us. We can turn to you. We can ask for wisdom. We can seek your guidance, help, and support, and live victorious each and every day. Thank you for this in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Amen.